Arkansas lawmakers are set to meet to pass a new state budget. We'll have a look at what to expect. A new study points to chronic underfunding for healthcare providers for people with disabilities. And a new bike park in Bella Vista is a first for the natural state. Those stories and more are coming up this week on the News Wrap from the Arkansas Newsroom. I'm Daniel Breen, News Director of Little Rock Public Radio. Each week, we're recapping the top stories from all across the natural state. We'll unpack the headlines, share exclusive insights, and provide the context you need to fully grasp the issues that matter most to Arkansans. That's this week on the Arkansas News Wrap, coming up right after the news from NPR. This is the Arkansas News Wrap. I'm Daniel Breen with Little Rock Public Radio. A week from now, the Arkansas legislature will convene to debate and pass a new budget for the state. Little Rock Public Radio's politics and government reporter Josie Lenora joins me now to talk about it. Hey, Josie.
Hi, Daniel.
So could you just give us an overview explanation of what a fiscal legislative session is?
So the legislature meets every spring to pass bills. In even-numbered years, they only meet to discuss the budget bills. So this is a little less eventful than odd-number years where they discuss other types of legislation. But sometimes budget items become unexpectedly contentious. So last fiscal session, for example, we had a prolonged debate about the funding for the Game and Fish Commission. Some lawmakers didn't want the commissioner's director to possibly get a pay raise.
So do we foresee any matters of contention this year?
Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders wrote a letter to state lawmakers laying out her priorities for the fiscal session. She put the budget items into two categories, must-haves and like-to-haves. Her letter actually likens this to a family budget. I'm reading from the letter, quote, just as a family may pay rent or utilities, so too must the state government pay employee salaries and building maintenance. So those last items are the must-haves. The like-to-haves were referred to as discretionary grants.
And so how much exactly are we increasing the state budget overall?
The governor doesn't want to increase the budget by more than 3% for this year. That's more than the last fiscal session. Her proposal for the last fiscal session in 2024 asked for a 1.76% increase. Devoted listeners of this station know that school choice is one of the governor's favorite issues. 3 years ago, she oversaw the passage of Arkansas Learns, which gives tax money to parents to homeschool their kids or put them in a private school or a religious school. This year, roughly 44,000 kids are in the program, which is the biggest number of participants by far. And the money adds up since most of those kids get about $7,000 each.
And the governor has set aside millions of dollars for the program every year it's existed, right?
Yes. The first year in 2023, that cost about $297.5 million. With $150 million of that being new spending. And then again in 2024, the last budget session, the number went up by $65 million.
And so what are the figures this year?
Last year, the legislature approved two tranches of money for Learns. First, $187 million in April, $90 million in June, and $32 million in January. So for 2026, just the voucher program will cost $310 million. But the law is more expensive than that. The governor's budget asked for $122 million more this year and asked for $70 million to be earmarked for the future. There is growing concern among lawmakers about whether the state budget can support the high price tag. In January, there's a legislative meeting about the budget where this was expressed. Arkansas has ended over 20 fiscal years with surpluses. In 2025, the fiscal year ended with $367.9 million in surplus. But also, Sanders is very passionate about phasing out the state income tax. So that could be less money in the budget to spend on things like Learns.
Okay, so another big controversy right now in the Arkansas legislature is whether or not money will be allocated for a brand new state prison, right?
Yeah, in 2023, when Learns passed, the state also passed a bill to lengthen the time served requirements for prisoners. Current prisons don't have enough room for these larger numbers of inmates. So Sanders wants to build a prison in Charleston in western Arkansas. The state bought the land already for almost $3 million. But the town of Charleston does not want this prison. They have been very vocal about this on the news, to lawmakers, at public town halls. Residents have a couple of different complaints. They say they don't have the water infrastructure. They don't want to light up the land with a bright prison. I've talked to several residents who say they barely have enough staff for their current town workplaces, let alone enough people to work at a giant prison. During the general session last year, the legislature tried five times to pass funding for this prison. It was a bill that would have set aside $750 million for it. They needed 27 votes out of 35, so that's three-fourths of the Senate, every time it failed.
And that is because budget bills need a higher threshold to pass than non-budget bills, which generally just need a simple majority, right?
Yes. House Speaker Brian Evans was asked about the prison in an interview with the Arkansas Advocate. He said it's unlikely to come up this year. The budget the governor put forward does not mention the prison.
So what does the budget mention?
Besides the LEARNS money, she mentions pay raises for corrections officers and state troopers. That's $53.4 million. There's a $6 million line item for higher education, $7 million for drug task forces, $5 million for SNAP error rate. Because the One Big Beautiful Bill our national Congress passed gives financial penalties to states who have food stamp errors. And there's also $6 million for something called the 1033 initiative.
And what is that?
Her letter calls it a, quote, faith-based solution to end welfare dependency and move from crisis to career. The group claims to be a stepping off point for welfare programs, encouraging people to instead lean on faith-based charities. Sanders announced it 5 months ago with Paula White Cain, and she works for the White House Faith Office. So the title of the program comes from the parable of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, which is Luke 10:33.
And so the state budget usually includes a forecast. Can you tell us what this one looks like?
Yeah, the Department of Finance offers a financial forecast for the year. The forecast typically makes conservative predictions. The forecast says they expect, quote, slower growth in 2026 and 2027. Meanwhile, inflation is predicted to be 3%, but it may go down to 2.5% this year.
All right. Well, that was Little Rock Public Radio's Josie Lenora offering us a preview for the upcoming fiscal session in the Arkansas legislature set to kick off next week. Thanks for your reporting, Josie.
Thanks, Daniel.
A study conducted by the Arkansas Department of Human Services finds that reimbursement rates for supported living services in the state are 23% below the actual cost of providing care. More from KUAF's Matthew Moore.
Sayard Evans is the CEO of Arkansas Support Network, a statewide nonprofit that provides home and community-based disability services for people who have lifelong intellectual and developmental disabilities. For a long time, the standard way to care for these individuals was in an institutional setting. Think an asylum or a mental institution. But by the late 1980s, with the expansion of Medicaid, keeping people with these kinds of disabilities in a home or a community-based setting led to happier and more fulfilling lives. And it also made it financially possible for families.
Going back to 1991, when Medicaid waiver services were started in Arkansas, it was a new approach to Medicaid funding. And our state, like lots of other states, recognized that the way that we set rates for traditional Medicaid services, like pharmacy benefits, personal PCP, doctors, emergency care, those Medicaid rates are all established based on the existing healthcare profession. And there's research that goes in, there's formulas that are put in place to be able to calculate those rates and come up with those rates. What will Medicaid pay your primary care physician for visiting the office and having your annual checkup?
She says that long-standing rate is largely influenced by for-profit services, like the doctor who is billing both private insurance providers and public insurance providers like Medicaid. And because of that, there's been a consistency with how a service is billed.
With home and community-based services, they never had that, not even from the beginning.
When we talk about home and community-based services, we mean a few things. It could be supportive living, like a person who works to care for people with disabilities who live in a group setting, or supported employment, like a job coach. It can also include services like a specialized counselor or an occupational therapist.
So in 1991, the rate setting structure for supported living, the state established an annual plan of care process that required providers like Arkansas Support Network to submit a request for funding for a year. And that request for funding was based off of the wages that were paid to the direct support professionals who go into people's homes every day and provide those direct supports. There was a cost of living increase every year. And then there was a 25 to 30% administrative overhead that allowed those providers to be able to operate human resources and payroll and benefits and taxes and facility, you know, office space, those kinds of things. That structure was established in 1991. And at the time, it really provided a functional, adequate environment for nonprofits to be able to operate.
But 1991 was a long time ago. And between 1991 and 2017, the state of Arkansas only made one adjustment to the funding. Evan says that put a financial strain on nonprofit providers like Arkansas Support Network to continue providing quality care to Arkansans. In 2017, the state did a rate study to look at starting to use a managed care model. That means instead of paying every doctor or care provider individually, Medicaid pays a middleman organization who then distributes those payments. In Arkansas, there are four provider-led Arkansas Shared Savings Entities, also called PASSes. Arkansas pays each PASS a fixed amount each month per member, and those entities then pay the providers. So that 2017 rate study looked at making an adjustment from a daily rate to a unit rate.
And so providers started billing 15-minute increments for services that we'd previously billed daily rates for. The vast majority of supported living providers in Arkansas are nonprofit organizations that really don't have the operational infrastructure to make those kinds of adjustments. And that's been a barrier. But rates were adjusted at that point to the new model, and we have not had a rate increase since. Probably for about 3 years, providers worked collaboratively and collectively in order to get to the place that in 2025, we had the passage of Act 1023.
That law mandates a new rate study of all home and community-based services, as well as mandating the state make the adjustments to meet those new adjusted costs.
It was not news to any of us who operate supported living services that the rate study came back and showed that there's a 23% discrepancy. What that discrepancy means is that nonprofit providers that are providing supported living services are paying out and paying to operate services 23% more than what managed care passes are paying us for those services. One of the critical aspects of the act is not only that it mandated the study be done, it mandated those increases go into effect. The rate study was completed on time on October 1st, but since that date, no action has been taken.
Arkansas Support Network says that between 2019 and 2024, the PASSes reported more than $260 million in profits and have returned more than $640 million in money to the state, claiming that those funds were not directly spent on services. As Evan said, Act 1023 not only required a rate study to be done, but it also mandates that increases go into effect. She says that COVID relief money is still in the system and covering some of these costs.
And so because of that, the state's position has been that they are not making any changes to the rate study until those dollars run out. In addition to that, the state has recently extended their ARPA project that should have ended in March, extended to September. And so for those of us that have been operating at a 23% discrepancy for a long time, that's really alarming. It's not sustainable.
Evan says Arkansas Support Network helps close to 600 individuals and families across the state in some capacity, with about 400 of them receiving supported living services. She calculates that 23% discrepancy to be more than $8 million on the shoulders of her nonprofit.
We're spent. We are out of runway. We have kind of starved the infrastructure of our organization's operating budget. We have made the adjustments that we can possibly make. And unfortunately, we've consistently underpaid our employees based on what we know their value and worth is, just to be able to maintain and to continue to provide those services. And so for us going into fiscal session, we're doing a lot of work just to make sure that people understand this situation. Very seldom do we have the solid evidence and research data and the state's own data that support our advocacy initiatives so clearly as what we have right now, today. And we're really asking people, you know, pick up the phone, make a phone call, let your elected officials know that this is something that you care about. Even if this is something you're just hearing about, the likelihood is that if you're a person who cares about people and you're a person who cares about our community, the communities that you live in, this is an initiative that whether it touches you directly or not, it's a value initiative for the communities that you live in. In addition to those 600 individuals and families that we support every year, we employ close to 1,000 people. This is a jobs issue for those folks, that those are issues that they care about. It's also a valuable and functional community issue.
You can find a link to that rate study and other supplemental materials at our website, KUAF.com. The Arkansas State Legislature's fiscal session begins April 8th.
That was KUAF's Matthew Moore reporting. Last week, the first Gravity Bike Park in the Northwest Arkansas area held a preview for some local cyclists and non-cyclists to much fanfare in Bella Vista. KUAF's Daniel Carruth was there and brings us this report.
Andrea Kroll watches a boy in a yellow bike helmet just manage to slot his mountain bike's wheels into two metal holders before a chairlift scoops him up.
Hey, got it. Okay. And encourage them, too, so that they learn.
Kroll is operating the lift at the new Oz Trails Bike Park in Bella Vista. And at first glance, she says the 2,500-foot metal and wire apparatus may seem familiar, but out of place here.
It's unique in that we don't have snow and we have bricks, so there's a little more friction for people, so that takes a little bit more learning for them, I think. But it seems to be working out all right.
Yes, instead of brisk mountain air, snow, and aspen trees, it's a balmy 90 degrees with dirt trails and Arkansas oak and pine trees. And in place of skiers are a line of giddy mountain bikers. This new bike park, developed by Tom and Stuart Walton's holding company Runway Group, offers 20 miles of trails on just 300 feet of elevation. It's also the first chairlift-operated bike park in Arkansas. Gary Vernon is general manager for the Oz Trails Bike Park and says the lift has the capacity to carry 1,000 people per hour up the mountain.
This is a high-speed quad, meaning four people per chair, and it's a detachable, meaning that it's really fast when you sit down and it goes up and goes up the hill. It's really fast, but when it comes to unloading or loading, when the chair comes into the terminal, it releases from the cable, so it slows down, and we can even stop it. But it only takes a little over 3 minutes to get to the top.
Two of the cyclists at today's preview of the new lift are husband and wife John and Jennifer Leach, who let me join them on that three-minute ride up the mountain.
Yeah, we usually go. Yeah, I've ridden bike parks in, you know, Washington State. We've ridden in at Angel Fire.
Yeah.
We've done Spider Mountain. And this one, you know, it's just in our backyard, and it's something you can do year-round. And if you ask me for a year-round bike park, it's world-class. Like, I feel like people are going to come from all over the states, even, you know, from outside the country, just to experience Bentonville and Bella Vista, Northwest Arkansas in general, but make this also a kind of a selling point to travel here.
Yeah. And, I mean, for those of us, like, I'm not a biker, so why is this unique? Like, why is it interesting to have, why have a chairlift to go up and do mountain biking? Explain it to us.
Because, so the downhill riding is fun, it's fast. You know, I'm one of those guys that likes to climb on my bike.
I do not.
She doesn't. But you can get, 10 times more riding in a short period of time when you're using a chairlift. So if you want to just do the downhill stuff, which is, the jumps or like the drops and the techie stuff, you can get a full day in here and ride twice or three times as much as you would if you were out on the trail not using a lift.
Not to interrupt, but I will say one thing is the location. Like, some people think you got to go to Colorado or the East Coast or the West Coast or Canada to get like really cool riding, and this kind of Arkansas is like a hidden gem in the sense where you've got tons of mountains and elevation, and it's so centered. It's like anybody from Oklahoma, you know, can, we're 3.5 hours away, and we call it a hidden gem. Like, so many people don't know the beauty of Northwest Arkansas, and so, you know, add the mountain biking into it. It's just, yeah, it's a very cool location.
The couple, who are from Oklahoma City, bought a house in Bella Vista for their own mountain bike trips and to operate as a short-term rental.
Love it. That's why we bought our house here.
Well, no. We were looking, and then the next week, they put the announcement out for the bike lift. We were like, oh, we got to get on this now.
And Carrie Vernon says while the lift may seem intimidating, it actually helps to make the sport more accessible, with 75% of the trails geared toward beginners.
We're going to have a bike shop. You can rent a bike. You can learn how to ride here, because we're going to have a top-notch bike school with 5-time world champion Annika Beerton is helping us develop this bike school. It's from small kids or beginner adults all the way to expert levels that are wanting to improve their skills. We're going to have that education here. And we really know that this place is going to get kids outside, because some of the kids don't want to go out to the woods and pedal hard for 40 miles. Now here, you'll come and ride the lift with your friends and just hoop and holler all the way down and do it again and again and again.
The park is still under construction at the moment, with work still to come on a restaurant, events building, and other amenities before opening to the public this summer. Joel Feimster is director of the Oz Mountain Bike Patrol and expects a lot of interest in the park, which also means a lot of work ensuring all of those riders of different ages and abilities stay safe.
Most people that we have that will be paid here will be EMTs. We'll be providing a BLS, or basic level of care. Somebody crashes, breaks an arm, or, you know, has a scrape, something like that, have, you know, people here that can assist with that. Like any sport, mountain biking can be risky as well at times. And so we'll try to assist riders and, you know, do prevention as well, try to guide people down the right trails and things like that.
And Gary Vernon encourages everyone, biker or not, to catch a lift, like Amanda Willis and Libby Smith, who came out with their tennis group to check it out.
And I mean, it's not even the best time of year, you would think, right, for the view, but it's still amazing.
I bet mid-May, it's just going to be fascinating, for sure, for sure. But we drive by this building a lot, and I love the building. Yeah. I think it fits in so well, yes, to the slope of that hill right there. It just looks nice, yes, and I think it's lovely.
The Oz Trails Bike Park will officially open to the public on June 12th. And John Leach offers this advice to any beginners trying out the lift: remember to have fun and to move quickly.
When you get off the lift, or you're going to ride down, so they just said move briskly when you get off the lift. When you're at the grocery store and your kid's pushing the cart behind you and they always clip your heels, yeah, you don't want that to happen with the chairlift. But no, I mean, it's we're sitting down, we're catching our breath, we're socializing, and then we're going to go get on a trail and go down, and then we're going to do it again, rinse and repeat.
That was KUAF's Daniel Carruth reporting. And that's it for this week. The Arkansas News Wrap is brought to you by the Arkansas Newsroom, a collaboration between KUAF in Fayetteville, KASU in Jonesboro, and Little Rock Public Radio. You can find this week's episode on any of our station's websites. Until next time, I'm Daniel Breen, and this is the Arkansas News Wrap.